find that a lot of time, churches do not know what it means to lift up their voices in terms of worship, in terms of praising. We lift up only during the time when people are watching us. Or we lift up because we find it convenient for us. Some people are afraid to sing out loud to God. They feel as though somebody said, "What's the point of singing out loud? I'm sure God can hear my voice." I believe God can hear even your silence. But the issue is not about God hearing your voice. It's about you having the passion from your heart expressed out to enthrone Him, to say how much you love Him. Have you ever seen a boyfriend talking to the girlfriend, "I love you," by looking at each other and... No one would ever keep quiet when you want to say something to somebody how much you loved. Isn't it true? We express, we lift our voices. And I'm challenging the church because a lot of time we miss out God's mighty power in our midst. And I'm going to show you today what I meant by that. But first of all, let me give you some scriptures to give you a time to reflect what the Bible says. In Psalms 81 verse 1, it says, "Sing for joy to God and our strength. Shout aloud to the God of Jacob." Revelation chapter 14 verse 7, "And he said with a loud voice." Did the Bible say that? He said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water." Did he say worship him because you are having a successful time? No. You worship him because of who God is. Look at Isaiah chapter 24, verse 14 to 16. They raise their voices. They shout for joy. From the west they acclaim the Lord's majesty. Therefore, in the east, give glory to the Lord. Exalt the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, in the islands of the sea. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing, glory to the righteous one. From the ends of the earth, we hear singing. You know, there was a man, a wealthy man, several centuries ago in a mountain village in Europe. He wanted to leave a legacy in the church, in the village. So he made a decision to build them a church. But he doesn't want anyone to look at the plan. He was very secretive about the entire plan. And finally the day came, he finished the work and the building was built. People from the village came in and saw and was wowed by that building. However, somebody said, "But sir, it is so dark in this place." And the man looked at him and smiled. He said, "Yes, it's true. But you know what? Look at the bracket around the wall. I'm going to give each family a lamp. And when you come to church, you bring in the light, the lamp, and put it there. When you come, the light will be over the place. But when you do not come to church, that portion will be in darkness." And so I thought, how true it is. God has given us the voice to come to the house of God and to lift up our voices to Him. When you lift your voices up to Him in the church, the voice of the multitudes will be increased. And there will be greater intensity. But if you do not come to the house of God, the volume of the voice will be lower and less. It is vital that we raise our voices in our worship. Unfortunately, the Christians have contradicted themselves, because we saw many raising up their voices during the protests. They raise up their voices during the competition and tournaments. They raise up their voices calling out for help in times of danger. They raise up their voices during the concert, but they fail to raise their voices during their worship. I pray today that we will raise our voices to the Lord. There are times when I ask God, Lord, what can I do? And the scripture tells me, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, why do you give me an answer? Praise the Lord in the midst of my problem. David illustrated to us that in the midst of his difficulty, in Psalms 22, from verse 12 to 18, and the scripture tells me, there's many bulls around me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count on my bones. People stare and gloat over me. Brothers and sisters, if you read on the scriptures, David was in a stormy career as a king. David lived in the seasons of great danger and deprivation. So much problems surrounded him, threats and death surrounded him. He related his setbacks with praises, despite all that he was facing. If you look at Psalms 22 to 26, you will discover that he says this, I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. My God, after all these evil people surrounding him, he says, yet I will praise you. He says, you who fear the Lord, praise him. He's telling the people. Psalms 150 tells us the different ways that you and I should praise God. How to praise God. I love this Psalms. It's so short and so powerful. Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with a harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with the strings of flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. How many here in this room say, I'm alive? Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Raise up your voices. Shout with the voice of triumph and rejoice. Do you remember those of you who studied the book with me in the book of Nehemiah? After the rebuilding of the wall, they set up two choir groups and they began to praise God. They began to praise God, and the presence of the Lord came and manifested. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know this beautiful thing. When you enter into His presence with praises, listen. When you enter into His presence with praises, God enters into your circumstances with power. Are you with me? When you enter into His presence with praises, He will enter your circumstances with power. So many a time, we miss that. Because we come to church wait until the song leader is going to finish his song service. But you fail to realize the beginning of the victory is in the praises of the saints unto God. Psalms 22 verse 1 to 2, David began to cry out and say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cried out every day or by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest. David was struggling. He was looking for answers and he lost the answers. He was unsure. He felt difficult, struggling by himself. How many of you sometimes walk through the same situation as him? We have come to this kind of experience, isn't it true? But it didn't end there. In same chapter, but in verse 3, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. Now listen to me. I gave you one particular version, New International Version, which is called NIV. It states beautifully, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. But I want you to focus on this scripture because many of us have misinterpreted the scriptures. And I will show you some of the different versions in English. First of all, in the NASB, New American Standard Bible, he says, yet you are holy, or you are enthroned upon the praise of Israel. Beautiful scripture, very much similar to the NIV. But then look at the King James Version. He says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabited the praises of Israel. And then he went on to the World English Bible. But you are holy, you who inhabit the praises of Israel. And then went on to New Life Version, yet you are holy. The praises Israel gives you are your throne. And then lastly, the Amplified Bible. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the praises of Israel. And we have oftentimes says, worship the Lord, praise Him, for He inhabits or dwell in the praises of His people. I discovered from different versions, the more exact interpretation is not about God dwelling, it's not about God inhabiting, it's about God being enthroned. God is enthroned on the praises of His people. You remember the story of Joshua? Someone say amen. The story of Joshua tells us how he conquered Jericho. In all simplicity, the Bible tells me that they were walking around Jericho with the Ark of the Covenant. And as they were walking around, then the day came when they have the Jubilee trumpets. Jubilee trumpet is used to announce the presence of God. I said it one more time. The Jubilee trumpet is used to announce the presence of God. And when the presence of the Lord is being announced to the people in Jericho, the wall of Jericho fell under the power of that announcement. They raise up their voices to announce the presence of God. Brothers and sisters, God is already with His people. God already inhabits in His people's lives. So it was not about the praises that He inhabit. It was when he dwells among his people and the people were walking, then they began to praise him, announce his presence. When he is enthroned with the praises of his people, then the power of God came upon Jericho. You see, a lot of time we thought that when we praise God, God dwells. But no, when we praised him, he is enthroned. And when God is enthroned, his power manifests. He is already with his people, but he is awaiting for his people to enthrone him. When we fail to enthrone him, the power of God will be missed. What does praises actually do? It simply means when you and I praise God, we placed him first. Are you with me? When you learn to sing praises to God, you are actually praising God first. Now, bear in mind that you can't praise God when you are still willfully sinning. If you are not behaving yourself at home, at work, or anywhere in the public places, and yet when you come to church, you want to praise God, praising God will never reach God if we willfully sin against him. It will be an empty sound. When you and I announce that God is first in our lives, when you and I begin to worship and praise God in spirit and in truth, then God began to move. How many of you know that it is your praises to God that moves the heart of God? And when you move the heart of God, God begins to move. I know of people who gave wrong interpretations about the inhabitation of God. Someone said in his book, he says, God has an address where he lives. It is spelled as P-R-A-I-S-E. Nicely phrased, but wrongly defined. I prefer this man who gave a more biblical understanding, Pastor Steve Berger, said this: quit trying to find God and start worshiping him, and he will find you. When you worship him, God will move. Amen. When you worship God, God will come into your needs. When you worship God, he will come into your pain. When you worship God, he will enter into your own difficulties in life. When you worship God, how many of you know God can do the impossible? I just said something. When you worship God, God moves, somebody said. This is where the church of Jesus Christ must be told. When he is enthroned, God manifests among his people. He enters into your environment. When God is enthroned, David was facing tumultuous times. But in that midst, when he worshiped the Lord, he found himself in God's presence. Are you with me? Amen. When he himself praised God, he found himself in God's presence. I began to enjoy the powerful presence of God manifesting in a very unique way. His power will be released when God is placed first in your praises. Life-changing miracles can take place. Dramatic stories of the enemy being halted and defeated will be told. You will have a victorious living. When praises are given, dramatic events begin to take place in our lives. You know, sometimes we human beings have this uneasy emotion in our hearts. Sometimes we have feelings and our earth circumstances around me tend to get in our way. We find it hard to offer sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. We become weary. We become tired. We subject ourselves with all the circumstances. And we feel intimidated. We feel scared. We feel uneasy. What do you mean by praising God? I dare not lift my voice. What would people think if I lift my voices? We become very concerned. Sometimes you may say, but because I felt that God has let me down, I do not know how to praise Him. Sometimes we say, God is so far away because of all my experiences. Listen, brothers and sisters and friends. We all go through difficulties. The most pathetic people who go through difficulties is get sucked into difficulties. When you have difficulties, you are not the only one. Somebody say amen. Because all of us have difficulties. And we don't stay there. We get up and we say, Lord, I want to lift my voice and praise you. Because you are my deliverer. You are the one who can set me free. I come to you to praise you. I don't get sucked into problems. If you say you got a problem, I think I got more problems, but I got no time to compare with you. Seriously. Some young people at the age of 20, they say, you know, when I was young, and what, when you were young? You're only 20 years old. When you were young, when I was at your age, and then Malcolm will come saying, what do you mean you're at your age? All of us have gone through difficulties. I want you to identify with this man, the man called Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat went through a lot of struggles. In fact, all of a sudden, being the king of Judah, he was very much affiliating himself with Ahab, that is, the king of Israel. But the king of Judah was feeling very uneasy because there was an announcer came over and said, my king, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Meunites are coming to attack us. Wow. He began to allow the fear to come into his life. Now they were all standing at the brink of extinction. They were at a point whereby they felt that they are going to be destroyed. And Jehoshaphat called for a national prayer and a national praise meeting. And he began to pray. And in his prayer, he said this, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. How many of you feel like the first part? Lord, I really don't know what to do, Lord. I want to get rid of my boss, but I don't know what to do. Lord, I really want to slap this guy, but I don't know what to do because Pastor said I cannot slap him. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I just want to squeeze him, Lord. But I don't know what to do now. Because if I do that, I'll get into trouble. We all feel that way, isn't it true? Lord, I want you to slap my husband. Oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. But you just prayed that prayer. But how many of us go to the second part? I do not know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. Amen. Our eyes are upon you. You know, the moment Jehoshaphat got the people to pray, listen carefully, and all of a sudden, when God heard the prayer, the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came. Somebody say amen. When there was this prayer lifted up, And then the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levites and descendant of Asaph as he stood in the assembly. And then he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid. They were all afraid at first, isn't it? And he says, do not be afraid or discouraged because this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. When God is praised, the battle doesn't belong to you anymore. Are you there? Amen. When you and I begin to praise God, the battle doesn't belong to you. You notice something? In verse 19, after what was spoken to King Jehoshaphat, in verse 19, then, listen to the word, then some Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praise the Lord. Are you there with me? You see, you must look at the picture. When the national prayer was made and the Spirit came to all these people, Jahaziel and the rest, and they spoke to the king, and the Bible says they all bowed down on the ground. And all of a sudden, while they were bowed down, then the Kohathites and the Korahites, you can see that in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, they were all appointed to be worshipers. They stood up. Wow. The rest were bowing down, and here they stood up and praised the Lord. And what did the Bible say? Quietly? Come on. Oh, with a very loud voice, like what I'm doing today. Hallelujah. With a very loud voice. Oh, my brothers and sisters, when they stood up and praised the Lord with a loud voice, then look at what happened in chapter 20, in verse 21 and 22. And when he consulted with the people, he appointed, this is what Jehoshaphat did, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went up. Listen. As they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Which means to say, the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord even before the battle. You don't wait for the battle and you start praising God. You've worshipped the Lord even before the battle. And when they did that, the army that was set apart, not with weapons, but with voices to praise them. And then look at verse 22. Look at it very carefully. Look at the verse. Now, when they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and the Mount Seir, who had came against Judah, and they were defeated. Did you see what happened? They praised the Lord as they were marching out. And they were singing, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. I do not know how it sounds. I do not know the melody. But if I were to sing that, I would say, praise the Lord for his love endures forever. And I could imagine them marching out, praise the Lord and his love endures forever. I just composed a song. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, his love endures forever. Can you imagine the whole army walking around and say, praise the Lord, and his love endures forever. And then the Bible says, now as they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes. Hallelujah. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is an unprecedented event. No man can manufacture this because it is the supernatural power of God. When you praise the Lord, God manifests himself. When he is enthroned, he manifests himself. He enters into your battles. This is what God does. Praises in the battle will always be a question mark for those who are carnal in this world. Never could they understand what it means to praise God in the battle. It appears nonsense, but God deemed as a divine strategy. Praises to God confuse the enemy. Are you with me? Praises to God confuse the enemy. The Lord set ambushes against them. How many of you remember Paul and Silas? They did what the Lord has called them to do. And until a woman that is very much demonic were set free from the spirit of the enemy, and she was a fortune teller, and those who owns her were not able to make any more money through her. So they were very angry and caught hold of Paul and Silas and flogged them and placed them in prison. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 16, as they were in prison, the Bible says they sang hymns unto the Lord. And what happened when they sang hymns unto the Lord? The Bible says the shackles and the chains were all broken. Free! An earthquake took place. The prison cells were shaken. And all of a sudden, the warden who was watching over them was frightened. Oh, he says, I will die if they run away. Paul says, wait, we won't run away. And spoke to him, and he gave his life to Jesus. How many of you know when you praise the Lord and you worship God, God enters into your prison. Hallelujah. God enters into your problem. God enters into your needs. But you were afraid to praise God. You cried out and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I hate my situation. I don't like my situation. I hate it, God. I don't know what to do. But continue, brother and sister. But my eyes are upon you. And start praising God. Because when your eyes are upon him, something is going to happen. But why is it Christians are living in a defeated life? After all the opportunity to praise him was given, they are afraid even to say those words. They are afraid even to sing. They say, oh, don't sing so loud. In heaven, let me tell you this, it's even louder. Are you there with me? Here they say loud, but in heaven will be louder. So what are you going to do? You can't win them. Join them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know why Christians get defeated? I'll tell you why. It was actually founded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And from verse 6 onwards to verse 10. But I've only given to you verse 9 to 10. But allow me to read in verse 6. It says, now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And then he says in verse 9, look at verse 9. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angels. People get themselves defeated because they complain, they grumble. They say, you know, my wife is ugly. She is such an annoying person. My son is such an annoying person. My daughter is such an annoying person. Every single one is annoying except themselves. No wonder they live in a defeated life. When there are praises lifted up to God, there is no complaint. There is no grumbling. Praises to God is not to be taken as a ritual or any exercises in the church. Just like the Kohathites stood up in the midst of danger, in the midst of their difficulty, he stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Come on, church. Let us worship God with all our might. Let us worship God with all our hearts. Let us worship God with all our soul, because my God fight on my behalf. But I want you to know the rest of the stories. The rest of the stories tells me this, that it took them, in this battle, it took them 3 days to carry off the plunder of the enemy. The enemy was defeated. It took them 3 days to pluck in all these stuff, the uniforms, the equipments, the weapons, and so forth. And then on the fourth day, they had a praise gathering in the Valley of Baraka, which is the Valley of Praise. And then went on, when they got back to Jerusalem, they had another praise gathering at the temple. How many praise gathering? Two. Amen? Once they defeated the enemy, they had a praise gathering. Most of us here today, when we became successful in something and then we forgot praising God. Isn't it true? Let us learn to praise God. Everything that comes, we praise God. Jehoshaphat had two praises gathering. And then finally, when all other nations heard what had happened, they decided to leave the people of God alone. The end of the story in verse 30 says this: the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. How many of you here, going through so much life situation, you need peace? When we begin to praise God, the enemy will be confounded, confused, and will be resisted. And when they are resisted, we will have the victory. And when we have the victory, we begin to praise God even more. Twice the gathering, we will praise God even more. Then the Bible says the enemy saw the mighty presence of God. They will leave you alone, and the peace of God will take place. Our home needs to be filled with the peace of God. Therefore, I urge you, worship the Lord. When God intervenes, he moves into our battle. There is a leap of faith from Jehoshaphat, taking the challenge in the midst of the difficulties by putting his army without weapons, but just worshipers. Would you worship God today? And remember this. They came face to face with God before they faced their problems. Let us worship God before we face our problem. Because when you worship God, God comes. When he is enthroned, he moves and he manifests in our midst. Today, would you allow God to do that in your life? Praises to God is not a formula, by the way. Hello? It's not a formula. It doesn't mean today you go home, you say, honey, I think we better praise God because we need the presence of God. We need the peace of God. Not much peace at home right now. Because most of the time, you and I argue together. Why you argue? You think when you worship God, God is going to come? Hey, listen here. When you worship God and you start arguing and fight and quarrel and you worship God, God is not going to come. There's no manifestation. It's not a formula. Worshiping God or praising God is actually our response to God from a relationship with him. Because I know my God is real. I know I need him. I know I cherish him and I adore my God. I am weak, but God is my strength. And I just caught in between. I don't know what to do. But my eyes are upon you. And I will lift my voices up. And I will declare that you are holy. You are holy. I will lift my voice up. My life will be an offering unto you. This is a relationship response. When you praise God, it is because you desire of Him. You are hungry for Him. You love God with all your heart. Even though you are imperfect, even though you made mistakes, but you say, God, I want you. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants after you. This is so vital that it becomes a response. And sequentially, God demonstrates His power in the midst of the cry of your heart in that relationship. Are you with me today? What a mighty God we serve. Somebody say amen. What a mighty God we serve. For the Lord is my helper, my deliverer. Lift up your voice with a voice of triumph. Let fear be vanquished by the sound of your praise. Let anguish be destroyed and be vanquished by the sound of your praise and worship. Let nothing tear you apart in fear. Can I say this? Go into battle with singing, and you will soon go home rejoicing. Are you there with me? Amen. Let me close today. Hallelujah. I read this quotation, and I want to read to you. It was given by an anonymous writer. Allow me to read this. Christianity is the only religion that abounds in song. Atheism is songless. Agnosticism has nothing to sing about. The various forms of idolatry are not tuneful. But Judaism said, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord." And when Christ came, the angels greeted His birth with praise. And since then, Christian song has gained in fullness and strength of voice with each sanctuary. The angels greeted the birth of Jesus Christ with praise. When the Lord enters into the world, He was greeted with praise. Hallelujah. His love endures forever. Praise the Lord, for His love endures forever. I will sing. What a wonderful beginning of the coming of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus was greeted with praise. And here we are, receiving Christ into our hearts, living as a Christian for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5, 10, 20. We have never even spoken about lifting our voices to Him. And we've missed out the miracle. How many of you today, life solution, you just found a solution to a problem? Amen? Amen? Amen. The problem is, where is the miracle? I'll say it one. It's all in the praises unto the Lord. When He is enthroned, then the presence of God enters into your home. Are you with me? When He is enthroned, He enters into your life. But if you are not ready to enthrone Him, the problem will remain in it. I found the answer to all situations why Christians are defeated despite the fact that we come to church to praise Him. It's because we dare not lift up our voices. We worship God. Some of us, we lift up our heads. And the song leader said, Jesus loves us. Let's worship Him. And we will close our eyes. And while everybody is singing, and some of us, we are so afraid to lift our hand. Ah. It's so hard. So tired. Isn't it? Lifting our hand is so hard. But when we get angry, our hands are full of muscles. When we play basketball, our hands are full, energetic. But when we lift up our hands to the Lord, we have a Malay word called chachat. Handicap. How could you praise God with all your heart? We lift our hands. We say, Lord, you are so wonderful to my heart. We want to enjoy your goodness. We lift up. We express our heart of thanksgiving. But many of us just like that. And the poor song leader, probably Jeremiah, will be looking and saying, praise the Lord. You know why he should close her eyes? Because she cannot see. And the more she sees, she gets so discouraged. He said, Lord, have mercy on me, Lord. If you see the song leader closing their eyes, because you didn't lift up your hands. Some of them are very merciful. Mandy will be worshiping God, but she'll be looking up. She won't look around. She'll look up. Because she, oh, Lord. So many of them are not even praising you. Lift up your hands. She lift up her eyes. Lord, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Hey? It's so true, isn't it? Huh? We're so afraid to lift our voices. And we lift our voices here. We say, praise the Lord. We praise the Lord. But when we go down, thank you, Jesus. Everybody's singing, but thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we do not know whether you had enough sleep or not. And so you came here, you stand there, you close your eyes. People thought you're meditating. Wow, spiritual. Don't disturb him. He is meditating. No, he is actually sleeping. Oh, and he woke up. Huh? And some of us during praising God and all. You know, sometimes I wish, hey, guys, please go toilet first. Come back and worship God. Right? Don't go and worship God in the midst. Hey, I want to go toilet. My bladder full, I got to go. So true, isn't it? Huh? Oh, my Lord, help us. Let us worship the Lord. Amen? How many of you believe that God can enter into your needs? And so let us enthrone Him. Let us worship Him. Let us praise Him. I do not know what your pain is, but I believe with all my heart, He can enter into your pain. Are you with me? If you said, Lord, I have sinned against you, like King David, I've sinned against you. But when he began to worship God, God spoke to him and manifested. But I want to challenge you. There are times I sit down there and I say, Lord, just give me a song in my heart. Just give me a song in my heart. I'm not very good at memorizing song. Everybody knows that. But whenever I sing a song, my wife always says, why you always change the words? I mean, I'm just enjoying it, right? She knows I can't remember the lyrics. I'm just enjoying it. I'm just singing my own song. And so I spend my time alone with God in His presence, and I begin to worship God in my spirit and just honor Him. It is during that time God came and showed Himself about my needs. Somebody say amen. How many of you are ready to receive God into your needs right now? Amen?
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.